all heard it before. It's who you know. Now hear why it's so true. Welcome to Social Capital, a weekly podcast where we dive into social relationships and how the investment you put into them establishes trust, reciprocity, and value within your network and community. Your host, Lori Hybe, will connect with top professionals and dive into their best networking stories and techniques to share with you.
Hey, everybody, Lori Hybe here. Welcome to the Social Capital Podcast. Our show notes are found at socialcapitalpodcast.com. You can also follow me on Twitter at LJ Hybe and on Facebook. This week's guest is Nancy Marshall. Nancy Marshall was born to network. At the age of four, she would be working the room in the grocery store when her mom took her shopping. Today, after having spent nearly 40 years in the field of public relations, she is still as enthusiastic about building brand and networking as she was back then. She holds an MBA degree and has been certified as a personal branding strategist. Her agency, Marshall Communications, handles the PR for the Maine Office of Tourism, the Orvis Company, among other brands. Nancy, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Lori. Thank you for inviting me to be your guest. I'm excited about being here with you.
I know we're going to have lots of awesome things to talk about, especially because you are a power networker.
Thank you. It's in my DNA somehow.
So I know that you are extremely passionate about personal branding, and I put a lot of emphasis on that as well. What do you think is the key to attracting the right people in your network, and how personal branding is a power of that?
Well, I think a personal brand is a story. And I think if you tell your story, you are going to attract people who have similar interests or who are interested in your story. And likewise, you will also repel certain people too. And so having a strong personal brand is as much about attracting the right people as repelling the wrong people. And, in my business with public relations, it's sometimes tempting to take on clients that might not be the best fit. But if you have a strong brand, and it's very well known out there, you're much more likely to attract clients who are the best fit. And as I said, sometimes it's best to say no to certain clients as well.
So I know that recently you've gone through a rebranding where your agency was known as your name, Nancy Marshall Communications, and now it's Marshall Communications. Why don't we talk about that?
Sure. We worked with a consultant who you know, Drew McClellan, to go through this process called Traction. There's a book by Dan Wickenheimer called Traction, which is about creating an entrepreneurial operating system within your business, especially if you're a business that's owned by an entrepreneur, as is mine and yours. And sometimes we entrepreneurs can drive people crazy because we're so full of ideas. And you know, every day we can kind of like try to change the course of the train, you know, take it off the tracks. So Traction is sort of all about systematizing your business and creating processes and procedures, and also creating a leadership team that can help you manage and operate your business. So over the past year, we worked really, really hard with Drew, and I have a leadership team that consists of myself and five other people, and it has really transformed our business. It has really deepened the bench of talent, and my leadership team is really committed to the success of the business and to growing the business, and they really understand the business so much more than they ever did before. So that has changed our brand. You know, I have had my agency now since 1991, and when I started it, it was really about Nancy Marshall and Nancy's network of contacts, but now it's so much more than that, and that's why I'm removing my first name from the agency name, and we'll be just known as Marshall Communications, or just Marshall for short. And, you know, I still will be the visionary, and I'm still, you know, committed and as enthusiastic as I was even at the age of four when I was in the grocery store with my mom. Now I look at myself more as a mentor and a guide for these amazing people that have committed themselves to work as part of the Marshall Communications leadership team.
That's a great story. And I love that you've identified the team component, and you've put a lot of emphasis on that, because I mean, even if we go back to networking, it is about a team, and it's not just that individual me, me, me. So this is great.
Yeah. You know, I think probably I was raised somehow to, I was the youngest of three children, but my next older brother is 4 years older. So in a way, I was alone a lot growing. I don't know. I was sort of like a, I was on my own a lot growing up, and I always thought kind of like I had to fend for myself. And I was sort of strident when I was in my 20s and early 30s. Like, I just thought if it was to be, it was going to depend on me. As I've gotten older, I realized that, you know, boy, that having a team of people who are all heading in the right direction together and supporting each other is more important than ever.
Really, really solid words there. Networking here. How is networking tied with brand building?
Oh, boy. I believe that your network is your brand. The people who are raving fans or enthusiastic supporters, either of you personally or of your business, they're the people that are going to be there for you in good times and, more importantly, in bad times. Say you lose a big account or something terrible happens and you need help. The people who are in your network are the ones that are going to step up to the plate and help you out. And I had an experience several years ago where we lost our largest client, which was the main office of tourism. We had had that client for, almost 20 years, and the bid went out, an RFP went out, and we lost the account. So all of a sudden, what had been our largest account went off to New York City, and I had to make some decisions, like, do I let everybody go, or do I just try to keep operating and finding new business? And amazingly enough, again, through my network, a woman who worked in our governor's office referred a big natural gas company to me. And she said to this natural gas company, you know, if you want to do business in the state of Maine, you've got to talk to Nancy Marshall. And that company ended up filling the void left by the main office of tourism for exactly the amount of time, 18 months, until we actually got the main office of tourism back because it didn't go so well with the other agencies. So that is an example of how, and actually in our pre-interview chat, you and I were talking about how when you're making contacts, you never really know where a connection might lead to. But the important thing is to have people in your network who believe in you and who know, like, and trust you, because then they're willing to refer you to others. And so this was an example of how somebody who I had known for many years gave me a really powerful referral. And that has happened so many times. And having those kinds of referrals from individuals is really priceless. I mean, you can't buy that kind of advertising or connection. It's really just based on a relationship of trust.
Yeah, absolutely. Really powerful. I love that you stated your network is your brand. There's so much truth to that.
It is. And I mean, if you think of the biggest brands, like you think of McDonald's, billions and billions of people served. I mean, you may or may not like the brand, which is McDonald's, but everybody knows that brand. They have a huge brand following. So if you think of yourself, a person, you know, the the more people who know, like, and trust you and are willing to refer you, the bigger and more powerful your brand will be, the more brand equity you will have.
Brand equity, that's a really powerful word as well. And that's what, explain that to our listeners a little bit.
So, all right, I think of coffee, for example. I sometimes go to McDonald's and get a cup of coffee for $2. Or sometimes I go to Starbucks and I get a $6 cup of coffee. Starbucks, in my mind, has, their coffee has more brand equity. Like, you're willing to pay more for their coffee because it comes with a whole experience of talking to the barista and listening to the music and being in the cool environment. So because Starbucks has built the brand of that experience of buying that coffee, people are more willing to pay more money for it. So there's more brand equity there. Again, with my own brand and my agency's brand, we've been around for, it's going on 30 years now. And so I feel like the Marshall Communications brand has equity. It's worth money, basically. And again, that goes back to, there's a lot of people who know, like, and trust us. So if you're just starting out a company right now, and your name or your company name is not well known, you don't have that brand equity yet. You have to build it over time.
Really, really good and powerful information. And that definitely makes sense. Thanks for sharing that. So you've done a little bit of storytelling already, which obviously you're really, really good at that. But can you share with our listeners your most successful or favorite networking story that you've had?
It's a really funny one. Back in the days when e-newsletters were just becoming popular, and we were all encouraged to have a monthly or weekly electronic newsletter, I started following a guy who has a business in Boston, Massachusetts. His name is Michael Katz, K-A-T-Z, and he is an e-newsletter specialist. He was, and he still is. And he consults with companies on creating powerful e-newsletters. Well, I got to know Michael Katz, and he had a connection in London, England, named Stephen Church, a British guy who owned a company that made collectibles, like collectible china and memorabilia. And so Stephen Church was a friend and connection of Michael Katz. And Stephen Church got the contract to create all of the keepsake memorabilia items for the royal wedding of Prince William and Kate Middleton. And so Stephen Church asked Michael, who in the United States could handle all the public relations to promote these keepsake items that had the likeness of Prince William and Princess Kate. And I was the first person that came to mind for Michael Katz. So Michael said to Stephen Church in England, "You've got to talk to Nancy Marshall." So I, out of the blue, got this email introduction, Michael introducing me to Stephen. And within days, all of a sudden, I had this huge contract to get the word out through the media throughout the United States and Canada. So it was all of North America, promoting the fact, everybody knew that there was going to be a royal wedding. Like, we all know now that Harry's getting married, but the fact that you could mail order these collectible items. And it actually ended up being, one of the contracts that brought the most publicity to my agency, because I was actually interviewed on Fox News nationally about, how did I get this contract and what did it involve? And the keepsake items that we were promoting sold wildly. I mean, there's a lot of people. They tend to be actually like middle-aged women in the Midwest, we found, who just want to have these like teacups and saucers and little plates and spoons and all these things that had the pictures of Prince William and Kate and the wedding date, which was back in 2011. So that was a blast to work on. And it just, I would have never known when I first met Michael Katz, the e-newsletter specialist, that it would lead to an introduction such as that. But again, it's like you never know. So another lesson from all of this is that you never know who somebody's going to introduce you to. So you better be nice to everybody. Like, don't hold yourself above anybody. Like, we are all the same. You know, some of us might be more successful technically, but that doesn't mean that other people don't aren't valuable souls, and you need to honor each person where they are and try to create and maintain a relationship with everybody that you meet, basically.
Yeah, and that's a really good transition point to my next question here is, what do you do to stay in front of or best nurture your network?
Well, I did start doing a monthly e-newsletter back, in 2010, 2011, because of, what I learned from Michael Katz. And we continue that today. It has been called the NMC Report, for the Nancy Marshall Communications Report, but we're rebranding it literally this month to the Marshall Report. And it's a free monthly newsletter that people can sign up for on our website at marshallpr.com. But also with social media growing so much, when Facebook started coming out, I believed that it was invented just for me because I love it so much. I mean, I love it almost a little too much. I love looking at people's pictures and liking and sharing and commenting. And so I'm really active on Facebook, again, both personally and professionally. And for me, there's kind of a very blurry line between personal and professional, because like all my friends, in some ways, I end up doing business with my friends, or they refer me and or my agency. So social media is really important. I'm really active on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, LinkedIn. LinkedIn is so powerful, and it's really important to have a really good summary section. A lot of people don't fill out the summary on their LinkedIn profile, and that's where you should have all of your keywords pertaining to your personal brand. So, and I do also Snapchat, much to the dismay of my two boys who are in their 20s. And it's like when I got on Snapchat, they're like, "Mom, could you please just," but I do it just to kind of razz them. We have a good time. Yeah. I have two sons. They're age 22 and 25. The 25-year-old has just accepted that his mother is like a social beast. And I'm never going to change. Whereas my 22-year-old still thinks somehow that I'm going to change, but I'm not.
It sounds like you're doing a really good job as far as, and I know this because I follow you on social and see some of the content you're putting out there. But yeah, it's just staying active and engaging with your network is really what it comes down to.
And also, I believe strongly in, don't always be salesy. I mean, every once in a while, if you want to try to put a promotional message, but I just try to put out there what I'm doing. I'm really involved with skiing and ski racing and everything pertaining to the outdoors. And I believe that if you just put yourself out there as an interesting person who's living a very full and active life, again, that's part of telling your story that will help attract the right people into your life and your career.
Yeah, definitely. Now, you've been tossing a lot of advice out there to our listeners, but what advice would you offer to the business professional who's looking to grow their network?
What advice would I offer to a business professional?
Looking to grow their network.
I think just always be introducing yourself. I mean, again, my kids think it's ridiculous, but I mean, if I'm in an elevator with somebody, I start a conversation. If I'm in the line at the grocery store, I start a conversation. I love going skiing because I frequently will ride chairlifts. You know, I'll be in the singles line and I meet a lot of people. So I think just be really intentional. I do it naturally. It just comes to me naturally. For some people, I realize it takes a little more effort, but just try to find common ground with other people. And then when you meet them, try to connect with them. I mean, LinkedIn is the most obvious, but just this past weekend, I met several people and I friended them on Facebook, and I know that we'll keep in touch that way. So just try to, I mean, think of it as part of your everyday life. You're always trying to grow your network. And part of that too, I think, is being memorable. And being memorable involves being a pleasant person, you know, having a smile on your face and taking an active interest in other people too, not always just talking about yourself, because that can get boring. So ask other people what their story is and really listen actively and care about their story too.
Yeah, that's really good info. Is just listening tends to be a theme that I hear when I'm interviewing individuals. But really, yeah, being true to yourself, being intentional. I think those are all sound pieces of advice. Now, you've spoken a lot about digital networking, so social media. But I know that you are pretty active, obviously, getting out and about, and I see you posting that you're speaking at different groups and whatnot. Which one do you find more value in, the digital networking or traditional networking?
I believe in a combination of both. I think that when we're doing digital networking, we always need to be striving to meet people in person, whether you've met them before or not. Because it's really when you meet somebody in person that the magic happens. You know, there's chemicals that, you know, there are feel-good chemicals that go back and forth between two people when they're like in the same space. And you can't get that through, you know, just friending somebody on Facebook. So I think that a lot of younger people might feel like they're really friends with people just because they have friended somebody on Facebook. And I don't believe that at all. I think in order to really be somebody's friend, you have to be with them and do something with them face to face, like an activity or a meal or a drink or whatever it is. But so I do a lot of coffee and I do a lot of wine with people because I just think that's the best way to connect.
Yeah, I like that. That's when the magic happens.
Yes, it is.
I wrote that down because I like
face to face. Yeah,
absolutely. And I do agree. It is a combination of both. So that was good way to dissect that. That was really good. Okay, so if you could go back to your 20-year-old self, what would you tell yourself to do more of, less of, or differently with regards to your professional career?
I would have let go of more responsibility, and I would have grown my team more earlier on in my career. I think I have one employee named Charlene Williams, who has worked for me for 22 years. And she and I have been pretty much the leadership team for my agency until most recently when we expanded it. But I would have done more mentoring and coaching with my younger employees. So I've always been somewhat of a maverick. I move around by myself a lot. I mean, I'm always meeting people and in networking with people, but like in any given day, sometimes I'm just driving from one event to another, one meeting to another. And I should be making more of an effort, or I should have always made more of an effort to take somebody with me to help coach and mentor my team.
Yeah, I like that piece of advice, actually. That's good. I'm sure you've got a great answer here, but we've all heard of the 6 degrees of separation. Now, who would be the one person you'd love to connect with? And do you think you could do it within the sixth degree?
Well, Oprah Winfrey has always actually been a role model for me. When she had a radio show, she had her own radio network. And for many, many years, I listened to Oprah on the radio and her friend Gail King, who's actually now on CBS Morning News. But I think the reason that I've always admired Oprah is I feel like she is so authentic and genuine. And she counsels people to just be the best version of yourself. And, you know, she's obviously had her own struggles with weight and with personal image. And I've had some of that myself as well. And but she's never really let it hold her back. So she played a great role in my career, I think, of like embracing my own power and like, okay, let's see how far I can take this. Obviously, she has one of the biggest personal brands in the world. My brand is nowhere near as big as Oprah's, but I think because I listened to her and learned from her, I have been able to maximize, you know, my network within my own industry and sphere up here in New England.
Cool.
Yeah.
So do you think you could connect with her?
Oh, right. That was the other part of the question. Yeah. I haven't really made an effort to, but I think I probably could because I think I probably could connect with Gail King, who is her best friend, because I do public relations and because Gail's on CBS. I think I could probably get in there, and then through Gail, I could probably connect with Oprah. So I should put that on my bucket list.
Yeah, totally.
Or the other thing is, I know Oprah also has these big conferences where she brings women together to believe in themselves. And I could just go to one of those events. But
yeah, that's true. Good. That was fun. I like that. How you broke down the why that you're interested in connecting with her.
Yeah.
So that was very nice. I know you spoke about the book Traction,
yes,
which I've read that. It's a great book. But what other book are you reading right now?
I'm reading a book called The Power of Loyalty, 10 Essential Steps to Building a Successful Customer Loyalty Strategy. It's by a guy named Roger Brooks, who actually works for Zipline, which is a client of ours right now. Zipline is a payment processing company that works with convenience stores, actually, to help convenience stores create loyalty and reward programs for their customers. But I like this book a lot. I'm feeling very inspired by it because it just talks about really taking care of your people, really tending to your tribe and being loyal to them too. It goes both ways. If you want customers and clients to be loyal to your business, you need to be loyal to them as well and always be of service. I sometimes have told my employees that in public relations, we have to think of ourselves as servants towards our clients because we need to be there for them when they need us. And, yeah. So that's kind of the theme of this book is providing really great service to build loyalty.
I'll add that one to my reading list for sure. Nancy, any final word or advice to offer our listeners with regards to growing and supporting your network?
I think I'll just go back to the whole face-to-face theme that you really can't build a relationship with somebody solely online. And, you know, you can use online networking, whether it's social media or texting or whatever you do on your phone or your laptop, you can do that to sustain a relationship, but always be trying to get together with people face to face. And if you own a business, reward your clients and customers by creating opportunities to get together, Because if people meet each other under your brand umbrella, they'll always remember that. You know, if you have some kind of an event and two people meet because they were at your event, that will be part of their story too, how they created their relationship. So again, I'm a big connector. I love connecting my clients and my friends with each other. And I think that there's just nothing more powerful than that face-to-face contact.
Yeah, absolutely. You're the hub of the spokes, aren't you?
That's right. Yes, I am.
Nice. Nancy, if anyone was interested in getting in contact with you, what's the best way that they can reach you?
Well, I'm very active on LinkedIn. So I have a LinkedIn profile at Nancy Marshall. And I welcome people to connect with me there. I'm also on Twitter as Maine PR Maven, and that's M-A-I-N-E. PRMAVEN, also on Facebook. Yeah.
Cool. We'll include all those links in the show notes.
Yeah. And also please sign up for our monthly e-newsletter, because I really do work hard to share, you know, whatever we're learning on a day-to-day basis with our readers of our newsletter.
Yeah. We'll add that link as well.
Thank you.
Well, thank you so much, Nancy, for being on the show today.
Thank you for inviting me, Lori. I really appreciate that. And I'm really impressed with all that you've done with your podcast. Because another book that I was going to mention is Stephen Wessner's book, Profitable Podcasting, which I'm sure you've read.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Good read. Lots of good information in that book.
Yeah.
But yeah. Thank you. I enjoy it. It's fun. I enjoy these conversations.
Yeah. Good for you.
Yours will be next, right?
Yes. Yes. I've got it. I definitely know who I'd like to talk to. It's just I got to get the technical aspect down.
Well, this wraps up our episode of Social Capital. A huge thank you to Nancy Marshall for taking the time to connect with us. Join us next week for another great guest as we continue the conversation on networking and building your community. If you need me, send an email to Lori@socialcapitalpodcast.com. Otherwise, we'll see you next week.
That's all for this episode of the Social Capital Podcast. Be sure to visit socialcapitalpodcast.com for show notes, more episodes, and to check out our free ebooks on business and networking.